Hey friend, Graham Baldwin here with the Speaker Lab. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if someone gave you the exact process to find and book more speaking gigs in 2024? That'd be nice, right? Well, I'll tell you what, we're just going to do that for you. We've created a new 18-page guide based on Dan Irvin's process that helped him actually book over $100,000 in speaking gigs in the past year. Now, Dan is one of our team members here. He's a very successful speaker and also one of our coaches. And so you're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls, proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps. Again, that's plural. thespeakerlab.com/steps. We're going to send you that PDF guide right to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps. That's it. That's all you got to do. Go there. Hey, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. You're awesome. Hey, what's up, friends? Graham Baldwin here. So excited to have you back with us for episode 360 of the Speaker Lab podcast. Now, we've got a great show for you today, and I think this may be the most people we've had on a single show. Today, we're going to be joined by not one, not two, not three, but four guests that together make up the leadership team here at the Speaker Lab. Now, if you've ever wondered what it's like to be a part of the nuts and bolts behind the curtain of TSL, you're going to love this episode. We're going to be talking about why we're dedicated to absolutely making this the best possible place for people to work. We're talking about how we stay connected as a fully virtual company and also what it means to balance growth and caring for our team. We are deeply passionate about our work and our families and are very intentional about preserving the unique culture that we have here at TSL. We're also going to explain how we prioritize sustainable growth, our favorite tools in the day-to-day, and why it's important to be top of your gift game as a member of the TSL team. We got a ton of fun here at the Speaker Lab, all while making sure that our students gain the confidence, clarity, and a clear path to their very own speaking success. It is an absolute privilege to work with this team. Can't wait for you to hear from them. So let's get right to it. Here's my conversation with the leadership team here at the Speaker Lab. Enjoy. Hey, what's up, friends? Graham Baldwin here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Oh, we have a doozy for you today. I think this is out of the hundreds and hundreds of episodes we've done, I think this is the most people we have ever had on a single episode. What we are doing today is we're doing the first in a series where we're having the entire leadership team from here at the Speaker Lab. Yes, there's a whole bunch of people involved here beyond just me. And so we got a lot of people here that are joining us. We have the leadership team of Chris Sayo, Sam Hill, Mary Alice Goldsmith, and Casey Proctor, who help really run things. We got a team of 20-something people, and these are the people that really help lead and run things. So we thought it'd be interesting to get everybody together here. We'll talk a little bit about their roles. You're going to hear more from them individually on upcoming episodes, but we'll hear a little bit about what they do and how they fit into the company, but then also just kind of how we work, how we operate, how we run things, and kind of the culture behind the scenes here at the Speaker Lab. So they're all muted right now, but they're all very pretty. So you just need to know that. So let's first start. I'm going to let you each give a 30, 60 second introduction of who you are. And then also maybe how you came to the Speaker Lab. So let's see here. What order do we want to go in? Let's go with seniority. I think Sam's been here the longest. So Sam, we'll start with you. Why don't you give us an overview of not only your role, but then how you came about to be at the Speaker Lab.
Totally. My role is director of sales, also known as director of enrollments, just helping our prospects become clients and get started or improve their speaker journey. And man, I was connected to you through a mutual friend. And this is a couple of years ago now when Speaker Lab did a lot of course sales. And as you wanted to level up the program, as we've done over the years, started to do a lot more one-on-one strategy sessions with our prospects and put them into a larger platform, and we were connected through a friend, and the rest is history.
Here you are. You're still here many years later. Awesome. Like do what?
Said I'm like a dinosaur.
You are. You are. We're keeping you around. Casey, tell us about yourself and what your role is here.
You bet. My name is Casey, and I'm the director of operations. I help our team have clarity on what their roles are, what they are expected to accomplish, and then also give them the tools to succeed, whether that's software or processes or more team members on their team. I'm really just help run operations of the Speaker Lab day to day. And I came from 8 years at corporate headquarters of Starbucks and then a little bit of freelancing time of myself. And then one day out of the blue, I got a text from Grant saying, "Hey man, what are you up to?" I might have something for you. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Awesome. Very cool. And Chris, tell us about yourself and what's your role?
Yeah, so I'm the director of marketing, and I guess my responsibility is ensuring that the sales team, the enrollment team, has plenty of bookings to qualify and just figure out if they're a good fit for our coaching program. Generally, I work on a lot of the back-end marketing systems with the amazing Melissa Howard, who's another team member. And I heard about TSL through a friend of a friend, Brian Harris. He actually got me this job. So Brian Harris, wherever you are, thank you. Wouldn't be here without you. But yeah, didn't really know much about the industry or the company before him. And then as I got to know Grant and just kind of his authenticity and genuine kind-hearted spirit came through the process, and just a guy that I felt like I could trust. And here I am 18 months later.
Yeah, right at wow. Just about a year and a half.
Wow, 18 months later. So, man, best job I've ever had so far.
And then last but certainly not least, the most responsible one of us all, Mary Alice, tell us about yourself.
That's great. Hey, everyone. I'm Mary Alice Goldsmith. I'm the Director of Student Success. And I help our students gain the confidence, the clarity, and a clear path to their speaking success. And I work with an incredible team who, I think what really blows my mind on a daily basis is just how sincerely they care about every single student. So it's so impressive. And I found the Speaker Lab because I was following them in my whole other life as an entrepreneur, and saw they had an opening, and I was like, I don't know. Let me apply. Let's see what happens. And here I am. Yeah. Happy to be here.
That's awesome. That's very cool. And so one of the things, let's talk about this, is that a really, really big deal for us as a company is, we talk about this a lot internally, is we want to create the kind of place that is the best place that people ever work. And so we realize that a lot of our team members, yourselves included, will probably work a variety of jobs or careers or businesses over the course of your life. So while you're here, we want to make sure that that this is an amazing place to be and that you have an amazing experience. So I'm curious, from your perspective, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we operate in that? Do we actually operate in that? Because there's a lot of companies that say that and all that sounds nice. But what does that look like on a day-to-day basis that makes TSL a great place to work at or be? Who wants to start with that? Casey?
Sure. I think for us, what makes a great place to work is the culture and being really intentional about it. A lot of companies and brands give lip service to what their core values are or what their mission statement is. But if you were to ask anyone in the company, just offhand, pop quiz, what is our mission? What are our core values? And they wouldn't be able to tell you, or they might be able to name a couple. And so we've been super intentional about keeping those short. We only have three core values, and they apply not only to our students and to our business, but to our team as well. And that's people, growth, and ownership.
Nailed it. Chris, I'm curious from your perspective, because you came from a world that was overly, I think it would be fair to say you were very stressed and have worked in a difficult role before. And so what has been different about this? Or I know even like whenever you started, that a lot of what we were telling you about the company of just like, yeah, we do things differently. Like all that sounds good, but how has working here been compared to what you perceived it to be?
Yeah, so I came from a company that was very much a high growth kind of startup. And I learned a ton. It was a great learning experience, but it was very much this company kind of needs to be your life if we're going to hit the growth goals that we want to achieve. And there's tons of people who take that path. I tried it. It was a good learning experience. But as I've now worked at TSL for the last year and a half, I've realized actually that's not really my cup of tea. I much prefer kind of sustainable growth that really prioritizes people outside of their jobs and gives them the time to just unwind. So TSL has been a complete game changer for my family and for myself, just because before I was, you know, working 50, 60 hours a week, and then I was commuting another 10 to 15 hours a week. So when that's all said and done, it's like I'm away from my family for probably around anywhere from 60 to 70 hours a week. And that's just not something that I want to do. I just had a daughter last 5 months ago, and I get to wake up, not have to rush out of my bed to get to work. But yeah, I can spend time with her, spend time with my wife, and do that all from my home. And I think a big part of that is because we've set up the right incentives and culture to help align everyone across states. We're a very results-oriented organization. So Grant obviously can't micromanage every minute of what we do. So much of I think how we're incentivized is tied to our outcomes. So just giving people very clear and specific numbers and objectives and tying their incentives to that, I think has created a really healthy culture where we're all cheering each other on. We're all able to trust each other. We all generally share this kind of work-life balance priority. And that's just a pretty amazing experience, or that's pretty unique. And it's been an amazing experience. And I think that a lot of people in the organization would echo those sentiments. So yeah, that's kind of my take on that.
Yeah. Sam, I'm curious from your perspective, like what are things about the Speaker Lab or being a part of the Speaker Lab that you think, if we pull back the curtain, what is it like to work here that people may not realize?
Two things jump out. One is it's just a ton of fun, like truly fun. And so, you know, you spend more time working than any other part of your life. And so if it's not fun, it can be really long. Right. And working here is like genuinely fun. I think about the next gift that I'm going to send to teammates and make sure it's good. Like gift game has to be on. It's like stuff like that. It's like genuinely fun. Busting each other's chops. So it's just really fun. And also seeing how people are using the Speaker Lab to accomplish their own personal whys and goals, which is something that you've really set a tone of, that you want this to be the best place anyone's ever worked. And so it's cool. Like I had a one-on-one this morning with a team member, and they were talking about how their role here is allowing them to do this one thing that's like their big passion and hobby. And it's like, just cool. We weren't talking about work really. We were talking about passions and hobbies. So it's pretty sweet. So that's one. And then the second one I would say is you really empower people to lead. Like rarely, if not, you know, like never am I like having to just report something, you know, like report back to you on something, you know, that really you empower people to lead. You ask more, hey, what do you need from me to accomplish, you know, X, Y, and Z targets? So, yeah, I just feel like we're really empowered to be leaders and can run. And that's what creates significant results, is when people are empowered to lead versus, you know, checking boxes and stuff like that, which is really a breath of fresh air.
Hey friends, do you know the 5 steps to book more gigs and get paid as a speaker? Well, if not, listen up, because these same 5 steps to help me to grow a 7-figure speaking career are all laid out in great detail in my latest book, The Successful Speaker, 5 steps for booking gigs, getting paid, and building your platform. Whether you want to speak as a side hustle or your dream is to become a full-time professional speaker, I know what it takes. I share all of that with you in this definitive step-by-step roadmap. Let me be your guide. Learn from my mistakes. Get paid what you know you're worth to share your unique message on stage. If you want to read the first chapter for free or just check out the book, go to thespeakerlab.com/book. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/book. Check out your copy of The Successful Speaker. How do we find that right balance? And I think, again, I think we do a decent job as this, as a company, but how do we do a good job of making sure that people are motivated and incentivized and continue to move the ball forward but also having that work-life balance. Like, one of the things that we've talked a lot about, Casey, Sam, you guys have been here for a while. You've seen the growth that we've had in the company and how we have, you know, more than doubled in size, even since you guys have been here, that there's always kind of been this, like, we want to keep growing as long as we can maintain the, you know, the special environment that we have. And so this is unique. So how do we protect that? So how do we find that right balance between growing and pushing? Cause we don't like, one of our core values is growth. And so we don't want to just settle for the status quo, just to settle for that. So we want to keep pushing, but we don't want to do it at the detriment of our family and who we are as people. Like, one of the things we talk a lot about internally is that who you are is more important than what you do. So your role here at the Speak Lab is incredibly important, but it's also as more important in terms of like who you are as a human being, as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, as a friend, as a son, as a daughter. So is there anything that we do or don't do to find that right balance of pushing for growth, but not doing it at the detriment of who we are as people, or as humans?
I think it really comes down to those clear expectations and leadership by example. So another way to define growth is continuous improvement. So we've never embraced growth for growth's sake, where at the beginning of the year or the beginning of the quarter, we say, all right, we're going to grow by 20% in this period of time. And then we invest all of our time and effort in hitting that goal. You know, but why? Like, why do we need to grow 20% in that amount of time? And so we are continually trying to find ways to pursue excellence and to make things better, not just from a revenue perspective, but also from a student experience perspective, from the benefits that we offer our team and employees. And then I think the other major component is integrity and consistency. Is we don't just say we want this to be the best place you work. We don't just say we want you to take off and spend time with your family. We make people take time off. We are like, hey, like, you haven't taken, you know, any time off in the last 2 months. Like, you need to go. You need to be away from work. And we help invest in their lives and take care of that. Like Sam mentioned, like, talking about their passions and stuff and what they care about. And then also for ourselves as a leadership team, like, if we want our team to take time off and have some type of work-life balance or rhythm, we have to lead by example in that. We have to take time off. We need to exemplify the behavior and reinforce what we want to see happen on our team.
Makes sense. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think another underrated aspect of that is just our hiring process in general. So most positions here, you have to, you know, submit your resume, your experience, kind of answer a questionnaire, but then there are multiple interviews and work samples. So it's very much, because we are such a outcome results oriented organization that is also remote and values work-life balance, we can only get a sense of having that blend through a relatively rigorous hiring process. So I remember as I was going through it, it's just for the leadership positions specifically, I think there are multiple work samples and you have multiple interviews, and it's just a very, for positions that we've opened, we've gotten hundreds of applications and there are multiple rounds. So I think a good hiring process has really helped us maintain that culture and that balance that we're talking about.
It's definitely allowed us as the company has grown, and we're almost on a monthly basis hiring people and just very regularly adding new team members. But we've also realized how important it is to get the right people. And so we have become more and more and more picky and selective and choosy. And there have been times where maybe we were looking for a certain role and we interviewed a bunch of people and we couldn't find the right fit. And there've been times where we just said, like, nah, let's just wait, or let's, you know, promote it again and see if we can source some more candidates, and just realizing, like, it's better to get to wait and get the right person than to hurry and get the wrong person and then be dealing with that. Because again, it's not only just from like a work standpoint, but also from a culture standpoint. That culture part is so critically important. Mayor, I'm curious from your perspective, one of the challenges that, well, it's pro and con, but that we are a virtual company. And so everybody works from home, everybody lives all over the US and various time zones. And so there are, even like right now as we record this, Chris is actually in Africa. He's 8 hours time different from the rest of us. And so there's a lot of upside to that. Everybody's able to work from home, but there's also the challenge of how do you stay connected in a virtual company where the majority of our team has never met each other. And in fact, at the time of this recording just yesterday, one of our team members on your team, Mayor, happened to be in town. We hung out and someone who's been on the team for 2 years and I've never met in person. And so, what would you say to that, as far as how do we create a virtual company that allows people to work from home and have a lot of that freedom and autonomy, but at the same time, stay connected in a world where most of us haven't actually met each other in person?
Yeah, I think we do a great job of that. Like between tacos and donuts and Slacks and text messages and Boxer, like I think we're so plugged in, probably even more so than if we were just like ho-humming through an office, like morning, happy right. Monday. I think we take that extra step to really purposely engage or purposely. I'm really twisted on that word, but purposely.
You got it. You're good.
You better cut this, Casey. But you know what I mean? Like really make a conscious effort to connect with purpose. How about that? I know like people on my team, I work so close with them on a daily basis, but connecting one-on-one and like Sam said before, it's not all like, oh, let's talk about this student, that student, this strategy, this operation, this system. You know, it's more like, how you doing? You know, how was your weekend? Did you do that thing? Like we know things about each other that, you know, we may not know if we were even working right next door to each other in a cubicle, believe it or not. So I feel like we take great pride in going the extra step to engage. And it's weird when you say that, like we've never met some of these people. I feel like I've known them forever. It's so weird when you say that, because I just don't feel that way. It's weird.
And we hear that regularly from team members who, you know, you have someone on your team, Mayor, who just joined within the past couple of months. And they're just like, I feel like I've known these people forever. And it's one of those things that it's great that we're all virtual, but at the same time, we, like you said, we have to be really, really intentional of what that looks like in terms of interacting with each other, of talking with each other, of staying connected. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about in terms of like just how we operate. And maybe one way we can talk about that is just through kind of our meeting rhythm. So Casey, you run a lot of our meetings. Kind of walk us through on a weekly, monthly, quarterly basis of what our meeting rhythm looks like just kind of across the company.
Sure. I think a caveat to like disclaimer to start with is that a lot of organizations have a tendency to over meet. And a lot of people who have been forced to transition to a remote work environment have experienced Zoom fatigue. Mm-hmm. I remember in February of 2020, my wife asked me, do you use Zoom at all? I'm like, oh yeah, all the time. And now having, you know, used it over this course of the last year so much, she's now a Zoom expert. And so I think with our meetings, we try to be really cautious and not just have meetings to meet. But as a leadership team, it's important for us to stay connected and on the same page. So we kick off each week Monday morning. We have a leadership team meeting. It's a chance for us to hang out a little bit. We talk about what went on during the weekend, how our teams are doing, where some kind of like key metrics are. But to Sam's point earlier, it's less about the metrics and more of like getting just kind of a pulse of the business and the team and where our team members are at, you know. If anyone's having a particular challenge or doing really well, we want to celebrate them. If we have staffing needs, things like that. And then as a leadership team individually, we each connect with you, Grant, every other week. We have a one-on-one just to talk about our goals and objectives for each quarter, how we're doing, the challenges we're facing, how you can help. And those like agendas are usually driven by us. And then each department head, each of the directors will meet with their teams every week or every other week, depending on the size of their team and the need for that. and have one-on-ones with them on a regular cadence as well to make sure that we are plugged in with them. And so having a lot of connection in that way. Once every month, the whole team gets together on a Zoom call for about an hour, and it's a lot of fun. We laugh a lot. We keep them updated on what's going on in the business with each department. If there's time, we'll play a game together in a virtual environment, which has been fun. Done a little Pictionary and things like that. And then once a quarter, the leadership team gathers together. We do alternating between in-person. We've all come down to Nashville a couple times. And then doing actual, like we call them Zoom days. And we'll spend a couple days on Zoom in longer working sessions where it really gives us the opportunity to review the previous quarter. How do we perform against the objectives that we set? You know, celebrating what we hit, evaluating why we didn't hit other ones, either because, constrained resources or reshuffled priorities, and then looking forward to the future into the next quarter of what we're hoping to accomplish. And then looking at our, vision beyond that to the next year and 5 years and how our objectives align there. And then once a quarter, we also have an extended team meeting for 2 hours where we give out our core value awards of people, ownership, and growth, and just really celebrate the team. And it gives us an opportunity to really highlight their contributions. And so that's been a lot of fun.
Very cool. Chris, one of the things that we do on a quarterly basis, whenever we're doing the Zoom days or the in-person kind of leadership team planning, is we use a system called OKRs. And this is something that's common. We didn't come up with it, but kind of a goal setting methodology. So can you kind of walk us through like how we use OKRs, how they fit into the business and what they look like on a department level?
Yeah. So OKR stands for objectives and key results. And it's just a very helpful framework for creating alignment across an organization and quantifying outcomes and being specific about the results that you're trying to generate for an organization in a measured, kind of systematic, step-by-step way. So each department kind of thinks about, where we want to be and the primary objectives that are going to get us there. And then you break down the objective into the key results. So if you accomplish the key results, then you therefore accomplish the objective. So it's really a matter of thinking about a bigger project, breaking it down into little pieces and how you execute on those over the period of a quarter. So whether you're creating an OKR for a year and breaking that into quarterly objectives, or you're breaking down your quarterly objectives into monthly key results and whatnot. It's just a very good system for creating transparency across departments, creating alignment, generating more communication. And it's just been super helpful to TSL as a remote company for driving growth and progress in the organization.
One of the cool things about how we do OKRs is there's a lot of built-in visibility and accountability to getting them done. And so we set our OKRs basically on a company and department level, and then everybody has visibility on everybody else's OKRs and kind of what you said, hey, this is what I'm going to do this quarter. This is what I'm going to be responsible for. And then at the end of the quarter, on our next quarterly planning time, we all come back together and just give an update, give a report of like, hey, here's what I said I was going to do. And either I did it or I didn't do it, but we're all held accountable, myself included, for what we said we were going to accomplish for that particular quarter. In addition, on a weekly basis, just checking in, we use a tool called 15-5. That's been a really, really good tool across the company for getting feedback from team members. Everyone on a weekly basis gives an update on kind of how things are going or what they're working on or how their week has been or somewhere where they may need support. And then also just giving an update from the leadership team perspective on the OKRs and kind of progress that's been made or kind of where you're at on that. Are you on track? Are you behind or do you need help? And so that's been a really cool resource for us. So to that end, let me ask you guys this, because we are a virtual company, we use a lot of different tools. What is one of your favorite, cannot live without, highly recommended tools for that we use within the company? Who wants to start? Casey.
All right. There are days it's overwhelming, but I have to say Slack. And so Slack is really a digital water cooler for us. We've got channels for certain projects, for different departments, just for the leadership team, lots of individual DMs. With that, it has been really helpful to have certain structures involved in Slack, and how, like, when we create channels, best practices in terms of how we start threads and have conversations, whether we're at mentioning someone or including certain tags and things like that, or adding in additional like plugins and apps like Hey Taco or Donut. So that's really where we all connect. We very rarely send emails at all, but Slack has been great for collaboration with a virtual team and just made that engagement richer because of the variety of how we can interact with each other. We can send GIFs and memes. We can drop audio and video in there and photos as well. And so it's just been really tremendous to have that there. But if you don't have some constraints and guidelines and structure, it can very quickly get overwhelming.
Slack is definitely a big part of our world, and it can certainly be a double-edged sword. Sam, favorite tool or resource?
Hard not to say Slack. It's pretty critical. I would say my favorite that we use is Voxer, because that's the place where we celebrate clients enrolling and high five on them starting their speaker journey. So I would say Voxer is a close second behind Slack for me.
Cool. Mayor, favorite tool?
Yeah, I like Slack, but is GIF a tool? I mean, for me, I have like full-blown conversations with my staff just on GIF. Like, we don't say anything. We just GIF away.
Is it GIF or GIF? Did GIF, we finalize it?
Well, if you live in Jersey, it's GIF. If you live everywhere else, it's GIF.
We do go through a lot of GIFs and GIFs. Chris, favorite tool?
Hands down, HubSpot. I could not do my job without it. So as much as it might complicate other people's job, it makes my life a lot easier. And as a selfish marketer that wants measurable results on all of my campaigns, HubSpot helps me do that.
As long as Chris is happy. Or should we say Christopher?
We've got a lot of different tools. And so one of the things that we have to balance is there are tools where we're going, you know, is this a nice to have, or is this a must have? Do we have to have everybody on this, or is like, you know, certain people or certain departments? But one of my favorite things that we use within Slack is we use this with 15.5, and now we use it with a different tool called Hey Taco, is we give shout outs to team members constantly. There is not a day that goes by, probably on a weekly basis. Casey, I'm sure we've got data on this somewhere, but at least 100 individual shout outs of just team members of, hey, I just want to shout out Jeremy for helping with this, or I just want to shout out Rick for this, or Charlie for that, or like it's just on and on, like across the company. So across departments, because again, we have to be really intentional about getting to know one another and other departments, making sure people don't have silos, but also recognizing that we each need one another for the work that we do in our own department. So giving those shout outs on a daily and weekly basis has been a really big deal. Okay, one final question before we wrap up here. There may be someone who's listening to this right now who's going like, I wouldn't mind working at the Speaker Lab. Sounds like a decent gig, perhaps. What would you say to them? Again, since we are regularly hiring, we're regularly looking for great people. Why should someone consider working at the Speaker Lab? Chris, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I'd say if you're listening and you have generally an entrepreneurial spirit, you share in our core values, and you want to work with a bunch of awesome people, then TSL might be the place for you. Over half our team are like speakers and they're booking gigs. I happen to be the half of the team that's not actually a speaker, but whether you're a speaker or not, the team will embrace you and welcome you. And as everyone has said, we have a lot of fun and enjoy our work remotely when we do our meetups and our life outside of work. So it's a pretty sweet gig.
Sam, what would you say?
There's a lot of things, but I've been thinking this the whole time. Like, we also have really built our platform in a way that serves speakers. So over the years, like, I've seen our offering evolve to match what speakers need to be successful. So if you get really fired up about serving a particular avatar and helping them break through, that's we're very breakthrough centric here. And I feel that our offering has evolved as people, speakers have asked us to help them with different things. And that's really fulfilling.
Casey.
I feel like everyone wants to be part of a winning team. Like if your team's going to the Super Bowl, there's lots of bandwagon fans and everyone wants to be a part of that team. And that's kind of how it feels to be part of the Speaker Lab. If you like to be challenged, if you like to learn new things, if you like to figure out and solve problems, no day is the same at the Speaker Lab. It's not boring. It's also like not stressful. Like we all work hard, but we play hard and we have a lot of fun. And it has been a joy to work here. I never dread Mondays. I haven't dreaded Mondays in 2 years. I look forward to working with the Speaker Lab team. And I like that we don't accept the status quo and we're constantly trying to tweak and improve our team and our systems and our offering to students to help them succeed as well. And it's exciting to be a part of a company that has an innovative spirit, but also rejects growth for growth's sake. We're growing because we're embracing our core values and trying to make a difference. So that's been a tremendous joy.
That's awesome. Mary Alice.
Yeah, all great answers. I think, if you're a entrepreneurial type person, a go-getter, someone who is willing to put the work in and also like bring that creative mind and really be a part of a team that's willing to change things, right? That's one of the things I love about the team. Like just because we're doing something a certain way doesn't mean we have to continue to do it that way. One of the things we always do in our meetings is we talk about how can we do this better? And I've brought that into our student success meetings. Like, this is how we're doing it, but how can we do it better? So just someone who, you don't need to be told, okay, this is what you have to do at 8 o'clock. This is what you have to do at 9 o'clock. This is what you do at 10 o'clock. Make sure you're done by this. That's not what happens here. Like you have to get in the game. You have to get your feet wet quick and, get involved, get in on it. Like no one's going to tell you exactly what you should be doing when, and that's good for some people. It's not good for other people. Like some people have that personality where they need to be told what their entire day looks like. This is definitely not the company for that. But there's always something happening. Believe me, every hour on the hour could be filled with something to do. But a lot of times, like when we hired Katie, we were like, what do you think needs to go here? What do you think needs to pivot or change here? So you definitely want to bring that creative mind and know that you'll be listened to, which is really awesome because that's not always the case in a lot of companies, if it's a good idea.
Indeed, indeed.
If it's going to help us do it better.
One thing we haven't even touched on is we have an amazing team retreat coming up that we are incredibly excited about. So for a virtual company, we still value connections and getting together with people. So and in the fall, we are getting together, flying the whole team to Orlando. We've rented a couple of just monster stupid houses that would be on episodes of Cribs. And so just getting together to hang out and do a little bit of work and share some life for a couple of days as well. Hey, listen, I want you guys all to know how much I appreciate you, the work that you do and how you help our students. And for everyone listening, listen, I may be the voice of the podcast, but so much of what we do happens because this entire team and so many others that aren't here. But whenever I talk about the company, it's not a grant thing. I always tell the team, this is not the grant show. And I genuinely mean that. When I talk about the Speaker Lab, I talk about we, us, and our. So I fully believe that. And these four other people here are truly a testament to what we do. So thank you all for what you do for students. And for those listening, we hope we have a chance to work with you someday. So if there's anything we can do to help you, support you, holler at us anytime. So thanks, guys. We appreciate you. All right, there you go. Hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Speaker Lab podcast. And before you take off, don't forget, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating and review within iTunes. We read every single one of those. It helps other people to find the show. Listen, we don't charge anything for you to listen to these. We don't have any ads or anything. We do this because we want to serve and support speakers like you. So one small favor we ask of you, is that you would leave us some type of a rating and review. Again, we really, really do appreciate that. If you're looking for more help, support as a speaker as you build and grow your business at whatever stage you're at, don't forget to check out thespeakerlab.com, thespeakerlab.com. We got a ton of free resources and tools over there. So again, check it out over at thespeakerlab.com. All right, my friends, that wraps up today's episode. We appreciate you hanging out with us. We'll catch you next time. You're awesome.